Okay. Call to order the Thursday, March 7th, 2024, Public Safety Committee meeting. Present, we have myself. Alderman Funkhauser is here in spirit. Alderman Terulis, Alderman Solon, Chief Jensen, Sergeant Strutt, Marlis, our minutes taker, and we have two citizens here. We will start with citizen comments.
Okay.
Identify for the record, please.
Yeah, I'm Molly Kremsky, and I just had some comments to make. We've been coming here for over a year and a half now, and it started out with drag being the issue, and now it's really turned into more of a public safety issue, and even more so beyond the unregulated drag is the government corruption, which is like one of the biggest public safety issues. We see that going on nationally, and it's going on locally everywhere, I realize. But I was kind of excited about the way that these committees got reorganized. I know it was John's intention to kind of break up the committee that was making progress on the drag issue and move everybody so that that got cut off. But really, there couldn't be a better group of people here, aldermen that care about truth and care about the letter of the law and care about upholding it. And then, you know, we have Chief Jensen here, and it's a good group of people to have this discussion with. So I'll just kind of backtrack, give you a little summary about where we've come from and where I think we are now. Started out with kids at drag shows. We just saw that they were having drag shows in Yorkville in places like Pins and a family restaurant where kids were present. And we lived in Yorkville for a long time, and we didn't want that to happen in our town. So I made some calls over to the city, eventually ended up talking with Bart, which I didn't really realize. You know, at the time, I didn't know who anyone was. I'd never really talked to anyone at the city before. Talked to Bart and asked if we have any laws about drag, and he said, no, it's the same as all other entertainment and any of these businesses. It's not regulated separately, which now I found out that that's not true. So I, you know, at first I was so ignorant and naive, and I thought that if I call and I talk to someone at the city and they give me information about the laws, then that's going to be good information. But, you know, I should have known better. The people have the power, and they give it to elected officials, to representatives, and they give it to people in the city who have been hired. And we expect that things are going to be done properly, but that's not always the case. So we are the ones that have to check to make sure that that power isn't being abused. And so now that's why we've been here for a year and a half, because there's things that need to be worked out. I ended up talking to Purcell probably a couple of weeks after I talked to Bart in the office, because I had left him multiple voicemails and he sent him emails, and he was not calling me back. And then I left him a voicemail that was probably a little inflammatory. He called me right back on a Sunday afternoon. And this is the first time I'd ever talked to him in my life. And I don't know what was going on, but it was not a good conversation. He just came unglued, and he was calling, you know, bigot and homophobe and all of this stuff. And I was like, whoa, like I never would have expected the mayor to talk to me like that. And then a couple of weeks later, I saw him at the parade in Lisbon, and he was F this and F that. Everyone's around, and it was just this huge blow up. So I'm like, okay, this is going well so far. Then we see the videos. They were from a year before, I think, at that time, but we hadn't seen them yet. So the South Bank video where the guy with his butt completely exposed twerking in the middle of the wood chip or gravel area at South Bank, and then at Pins with the grabbing of the guy's breasts, and then the drag queen soliciting for some stuff in the alleyway. You probably remember that speech, if you give me big tips, we'll go out in the alleyway or maybe in my car because it's too cold outside. So all of that, I'm like, okay, this is getting out of hand. And John kept saying, no laws are being violated, nothing, you know, everything's fine. He kept lying to the press, lying to us at the meetings. And we decided to escalate it to the ILCC because local liquor control ordinances were clearly being violated. And he lies to the ILCC. So we're like, okay, the problem isn't our laws. Our laws are great. The problem is enforcement of the laws. So I came back over in the other building, which I missed the other building, gave a speech about the three branches of government, the legislative, executive, and judicial branch. And it brought up how it's making everyone's jobs really difficult to do when John isn't doing his job. And he was putting stumbling blocks in the way of the police, holding them back from enforcing laws that they took an oath to uphold. And he was just dismissing what the legislature had passed. You guys stay here for hours, and you bounce things back and forth, you weigh the pros and cons, and you come up with good legislation, and you go through all the steps it takes to pass it. And then he was like, no, we're not enforcing it. So then I come to find out that not only is he not upholding the law with regard to drag, and probably other things, I don't know, I'm not on top of everything, but he's breaking the law himself. And so we saw him, Hometown Days 2022, I don't know if you remember, Dave Gus came up and he talked about how an ILCC report had been filed, and that I discussed this a couple of weeks ago, that Purcell admitted to distributing alcohol at Hometown Days in 2022 out of his tent that was in a non-food area of the park, and he said that he wasn't doing it under the city's liquor license. And so now we get to, oh no, maybe he didn't say that then. Was that 2023?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
Okay,
so then we're thinking, okay, we brought that up, maybe it would be handled. We get to 2023, he's doing it again, in more boldly, in a more public way, almost flaunting it, and comes up with a new idea for getting out of that, which all it did was shift jurisdiction. So Mike has been emailing with Chief Jensen back and forth, and I was going to read that email thread, but I'm not going to do that. The purpose of me being here is not to, like, condemn or embarrass anyone. I really don't. And it's not really that much about the people. I want righteousness in Yorkville. I want truth in Yorkville. I want laws to be upheld in Yorkville. I want kids to be protected. I want the community to be safe. And anyone who's willing to do that and work with me on that, I would love it. If John said, you know, I'm tired of this. I shouldn't have done that. I won't distribute alcohol anymore. I want to uphold the laws. In a second, I would say, awesome. Let's do it. Let's work together and let's do this. So this email back and forth, Mike wanted to open an investigation into the distribution of alcohol in 2022 and 2023. So that something could be done to stop it. And the response, and it was came with all, do you have copies of it for them? It came with all kinds of evidence, the ILCC report, map of the park, what's the third thing, I can't remember every time.
That's the in video. There.
Oh, the video of the actual distribution. So it's all there. And the response was, and I get this. I understand why the response is what the response is, because I know that you want to keep your job, Chief Jensen. I know that you have a lot of guys who are depending on you, and you're working together as a team, and I understand that. And I understand that Purcell is your boss, so it puts you in a really difficult position. So, but the response to the request to open an investigation was City Code Title 3, Chapter 3, Section 3316B allows for consumption of alcoholic beverages on city property and parks when a liquor license or permit has been issued. So we all know that there was a permit used for that day, and alcohol consumption could happen inside that gate during that time. But the issue isn't alcohol consumption. The issue is alcohol distribution. And it's happened for 2 years, and John admitted to it in an official ILCC report. He admitted to distributing alcohol. So that's a little frustrating to me. And I realize that you're just following orders from Mayor Purcell, but so were the Nazis following orders when they ushered the Jews into the gas chambers. Following orders isn't going to cut it. And on top of having orders, you have a higher oath to uphold the laws of Yorkville. Really, the judicial branch should be taking care of this corruption, but there is so much corruption there that I don't even see that as a viable option. It falls back on the people, who were the ones who gave the power to the reps, gave the power to the mayor. It falls on us to reclaim that power when it's being abused in this way. And I feel like nobody is really speaking for us. I know you guys, I appreciate everything that you've done. I appreciate you responding to some of the issues that I brought up with the ordinance changes and everything. And I know that you have good hearts, and I know that I know what you want. And I see that you're up against a mountain. But I just feel like no one's really speaking for us, and no one's taking our police reports. I'm not saying that the mayor has to be, you know, handcuffed. I'm just saying let's investigate it, and maybe it turns out that it was fine, or, you know, I don't know how it turns out, but we certainly don't know how it turns out until it's investigated. So a little bit about these meetings. Like, it's an open forum, and we have Open Meetings Act regulations that keep conversation from going out in a larger way outside of these meetings, so that the public comes to these and then there's open discussion and there's transparency. Like, that's the whole point of this style of meeting that we have in America. And I don't really see that happening. It seems like a lot of stuff happens behind the scenes, because there's a lot of agendas that are being worked out, and I don't think people feel like they can discuss things openly and freely. And if we were all on the same page, if we actually were all working for the good of the people, there wouldn't be any problem. We'd come down, we come here, we're all on the same team, you know, we're throwing ideas back and forth, and we're hashing things out until we get to the best solution for the people. But I'm not seeing that. And like Chris, he did a great job at this meeting when I brought up expanding the liquor laws and how we weren't, you know, how was it being regulated, what was going on, and that I said we weren't really in any position to expand the liquor laws because of the way that laws aren't being enforced in Yorkville under the Purcell regime. And then Chris brought it up and said, you know, talked to Jensen and said, you know, what are we doing? And it was a good exchange. And he said, well, we're not, you know, doing anything, but we could do something. And then John just jumps on him and berates him in front of everyone. And I don't blame you guys for not wanting to speak up. Like, some people can't handle being treated that way, but even people who can handle being treated that way, it gets old after a while, you know, getting embarrassed in front of the whole room full of people or getting attacked that way. So I feel like something has to happen to get him to back off a little bit. Maybe put some pressure on him, maybe go forward with the investigation, which I think we have a right to, based upon all the evidence. Yeah, file a report based upon all the evidence that we have. It's not just like some frivolous report. Maybe someone who's been here for a really long time, who cares about law and order, needs to step up and run for this position as mayor. I'm not sure, but I'm inviting all of you, you know, to do the right thing for the people, for your offices, for your consciences, for your oaths. And there is no bitterness, there is no spite. I work with anyone. I don't have an agenda other than truth and righteousness and what's good for the people. I don't care who's on board. I love it for everybody to be on board. But the other thing, I'm not gonna sit here and watch corruption spread, and I'm not gonna watch the city be ruined. And more laws aren't going to help us. We have great laws, and we could write 1,000 more laws, but if they're not going to be enforced, if they're not going to be executed, it's not going to make any difference. And the lawless that are among us, they need to either be transformed or they need to be removed in order for our city to go forward and have the kind of blessings that we want for ourselves and for our kids and for our grandkids. And I think that's all I have to say.
Thank you.
I'll say one short thing, and that's it. Mike Kremsky. The reason that we moved it on beyond the ILCC, because the ILCC said the complaint was founded, but Mayor Purcell said he was not acting as mayor or acting as a representative of Ace Hardware at the time. He was acting as John Purcell. So they said, as the ILCC, it's out of our jurisdiction because we only regulate the permit and what happens under that permit. So they said, your complaint is founded it's illegal, you need to turn this over to your local police or higher up if need be. So that's what we were doing, and we actually refused to actually be able to even fill out a report. So from our perspective, what do you do? It's like the ILCC says, this is a complaint, it's founded, you need to go to the right jurisdiction, would be your local police, and our local police are saying, we're not gonna help, we don't wanna take your report. So that's it, thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Move on to the minutes for correction or approval. Want to get a chance to look at those?
What's in here?
Comments, questions, additions, deletions? No? We'll move on to new business. I think we're going to move item number 3 up to item number 1. So we'll move on to PS 2024-06. Traffic complaint, investigation, and reporting process.
All right, I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to Sam. Sam's been working hard. He's our traffic sergeant. He's been working hard at trying to identify the complaints that come into the city specific to traffic, also researching crashes within the city and trying to identify issues where and things we can do to reduce the amount of crashes and problems in subdivisions. So, Sam's going to present to you today with the plan of what we have, and I'm going to turn it over to him.
Thank you. My name is Sam Strapp. I know most of you. I'm a sergeant with the Yorkville Police Department. I've been here. I'm going on my 24th year. When Chief Jensen started here, he met with every officer, sergeant, and everything, and finding out our career goals and what we like to do. And one of my passions since I started here is traffic enforcement. I love traffic enforcement education. Not just about writing tickets, but it's about finding what the issues are, talking to people, really getting to the root of problems. He allowed me to create my own program and then under some supervision to help identify these problems, see if we can find the root of them, and cause a reduction in traffic crashes and traffic-related violations. Going to the program here. I'm going to talk about it's all going to be brief, just a quick overview, but if anyone has any questions, again, this is it's a fluid program. I've worked on it about 5 years now, so I'm open to any suggestions, changes, anything like that. Prior practices, resources, and equipment we have, the program and procedures that we're doing now, talk about the documentation that I've been doing, and then provide a conclusion. So. All right, the purpose of this is looking at the root of the problem, analyzing what's going on, and trying to reduce these issues, not only through enforcement, but through education as well. So prior practice, what we used to do, a phone call would come into the department. It could, you know, an alderman could take a phone call from a citizen, somebody could call the department, we got a problem in our area, we need to address it. An email would come out to the department members, hey, keep an eye out on this area on Main Street, we got some speeding issues. A policeman would sit there for a couple weeks, some new issue would arise, there'd be some traffic enforcement, eventually it would stop, and then we'd have that same cycle over again. So again, we'd be just repeating everything. All right, so the whole point is to, what I'd like to change it to is to get some data to see if it's an actual issue. We were fortunate enough to get a couple traffic signs and message boards. You see them sometimes like an IDOT, they display messages, slow down, crash ahead. We've also recently purchased some smaller speed signs that we can post up on, like a speed limit sign. Most of the time I don't display a speed because I don't want anybody trying to skew the data. And it can actually show if there is an actual issue or it's a perceived issue. I worked with an acquaintance of mine who's an IT guy. He put together a program for me. I believe that if anyone calls in and makes a complaint about traffic, I document it. Whether it's founded or unfounded, whether I believe it's an issue or not, I document everybody's traffic complaint. That way we can keep a running total of what's going on in each year and a little more transparency. The research stage. Okay, so someone calls in and they make a complaint, they're speeding on Main Street. What are we going to do about it? I'll go out and I'll check out the area. Is there anything that's out there like a lack of signage, trees blocking the roadway? What does the area look like? Is it by a school? I'll then deploy our speed signs to collect the traffic data, usually 1 to 2 weeks. It gives me vehicle count, it gives me average speed, it gives me what's called the 85th percentile, which is what the majority of vehicles are doing in that area, the number of vehicles that are traveling through there. We have community service officers here. They're not sworn police officers, they're civilian employees. They handle a lot of our lockouts for private property crashes. I utilize them to observe and monitor the areas, document activity. Then once I get that data back, I put it in a traffic background report. If you guys have it in front of you. What this is a summary of the data that I collected in the area. I just recently started, in the 5 years I've been doing this program, I've really started hitting these reports hard. I would say in 2023 I hit about 20 of these reports. Looking at the first, I got the cover sheet, the first page, I provide a summary of what happened. I go back and I look at 5 years of crash data. Do we have an issue with crashes that are occurring in the area? Do we have an issue with speeding? I collect all that information and I put it in the report. I provide a recommendation on the front, what my plan of action is, whether it's an issue, whether we need to do some kind of directed patrols, whether it's not an issue. Regardless of if it's an issue or not, I follow up with the citizens because they're the ones that are making the complaint. They need to know. Otherwise, we go back in that repetitive cycle of phone calls are being placed. I share the data with them, so we're all on the same page. The reports that I do, they get forwarded to the Chief of Police, the administration. They get forwarded to the Head of Public Works, as well as EEI, the engineering company we partner with, just to get their take on what I collected. Going to the next page, just basically the location, what the concern is, how many concerns have we had? Have we had 15 concerns on Main Street? Have we had one concern on Main Street? How prevalent is the issue? I go back and I look at the features of the road, how many intersections, what is the area? Is it a residential area? Is it by a school? Sometimes jurisdictions, Kendall County and Yorkville, they overlap. You know, do I have to meet up with somebody from the sheriff's office so we can coordinate efforts? Next page. Do we have any directed patrols? What I mean by directed patrols is areas that are established as a, I don't want to say a problem area, but what's prevalent for traffic violations, traffic crashes. The officers monitor and document their activity. In that program, I just showed you the citizen complaints. We log all the officers' activities, whether they've issued traffic tickets, warnings, any arrests. I also log what the community service officers do, just so we have a better understanding of what's going on. I put the speed sign data in there. If you go to the next page, I include where I put, now this, I'm sorry, I should have explained this. This was a follow-up report to Windham Ridge Road. I had done a report in 2023. We had a new complaint. I followed up with that area. So that's what this report was. So in this, I put all the speed data that I collected. I put it in a spreadsheet almost. So I put what the speed is, the average speed, how many vehicles were traveling along the roadway. Going below that, I go through the reports. I go through 5 years of crash data. What kind of crashes were happening in that area? That was a continuation. Next, the last pages, I include maps, what the area looks like. I include aerial photographs with the Google Maps, which is great. I'll go out and I'll take pictures of the area just to provide what the area actually looks like. So that's the background traffic report. And like I said, anytime we take a complaint, I will do this for each one and methodically go through it. Okay, so like I said, I collect the information from the message boards that you can see in the upper right-hand corner. In the lower left-hand corners are speed signs. They're great tools for collecting data. All right, traffic background report. I basically went over that in the one that I handed out to you. Then I provided an example. All right. example of monitored patrols. I got Officer Swanson there showing Community Service Officer Odom how to use the radar. It's a great tool. We're paying officers to monitor areas. We have a community service officer. He can spend the time assisting, monitoring that area, while officers can do their jobs and their job functions. All right, let's see. Traffic circle. I believe I handed that to you guys. Once an area is established, I create a monthly traffic concern list. Okay. On that, those traffic programs where I use to collect the data, it shows me peak times of violations. That way I can pinpoint a better time. That way it's making the officer's time more effective and efficient. Tax money is being spent on officers, so if I can address the area at the certain times that the violations are happening, that's what I do. Most recently, the highways, I reached out to our IDOT representative for the area. They allowed me to have permission to start monitoring the highways with those traffic devices. I just have to send them the information when I'm going to post it. That way we can get a better idea of where it's happening along the highways. That's primarily where a lot of our crashes are happening. So if we can address that and make that more effective and efficient, I think that's great.
It's the first time they've allowed us to do it before they've threatened to take our signs. So Sam's made some really good effort.
Why the change of heart?
Great question. Don't know.
I asked nicely. The form that I gave you guys, and I'm sorry, I'm kind of going out of order. It's a form that looks like this. If you don't have it, I can try to hand it out.
In the packet, or was it separate?
It was separate. I'm sorry. I've got it. You got it? Okay. All right, you got mine. Okay. When I said I had the community service officers monitor those new areas, and once we have established areas, they collect data. If they observe a traffic violation, what I did was I created a courtesy letter. What that courtesy letter is, you already have? Okay, no problem. What that courtesy letter is I collect information that the community service officer observed, and then I send them this letter. There's no extra enforcement action that needs to be taken from this. It's just telling the person that was the owner of the vehicle, somebody was operating their vehicle, they were observed going through a stop sign, somebody was speeding in a certain area. We're trying to make the roadways safer. I've got a couple of feedbacks from different drivers that have received these letters. Received positive. I have not received any negative remarks regarding these letters. But again, it's just something to get it out there that we're doing something and make people more aware. Because it is about education as well, not just enforcement. Monthly reports. That's the other packet I handed.
I see where I need to be careful. On a certain street now.
We're always getting new areas. All right.
It's on the list.
Every month, I put together a traffic report. With that traffic, and you can peruse it. With that traffic report consists of the directed patrols, the new areas that are being monitored, the activity that the officers spend, written warnings, tickets, as well as courtesy letters that are issued, arrests, things of that nature, just to provide an overall what we're doing. It also gives me an opportunity to reflect and make sure that we're spending time in appropriate areas. I put the same report together at the end of the year just to document all activities that we're having in relation to traffic complaints and directed patrols. That was an example. Follow-up. Big thing is, I just noticed that citizens like follow-up. If someone calls in for a traffic complaint, talk to them. Well, they want to know what's going on. Give them the data that I collected. We may not agree on the direction I'm going. I'm open to ideas, but it's a good open discussion. Some misconceptions, and that's the big thing I noticed when talking to some people on the phone or in person regarding these traffic complaints. Residential speeds in Yorkville are 30 miles an hour. Some residential areas in other towns, 25, 30 in Yorkville. So if someone's doing 33, 34, we're generally not going to stop somebody for that speed. But sometimes when they're coming around a curve, it makes the vehicle appear like it's going faster than what it is. So again, by producing this information, by providing them with this information, it clears things up. One area that we had an issue with
was by the Yorkville Christian High School. We had a couple complaints from the neighborhood over there. I collected the data, I spoke with him, I explained to him, and I don't have the exact numbers, but out of the 1,000 or whatever vehicles that were going through there, we would have stopped about 5 of them. He was very surprised. I told him what the speed information was. And again, I think some of that was a misconception because there's a lot of traffic going through the neighborhoods coming out of the school. So again, that was something that could clear that up. The partnerships that were involved, again, City of Yorkville, EEI, the engineering company, they've come out and they've assisted me doing their own traffic studies, and I incorporate that in my report. They're a great tool. Illinois Department of Transportation, and then also we work with other area police departments. Moving forward, I'd like to continue to build on this program. Again, I'm open to input, suggestions. If something you or somebody else would like to see, if you are fielding phone calls from a citizen and they would like to see some other data points, I have no problem incorporating that into my report. Again, it's about getting that information out there. Working with Chief Jensen, we're going to have quarterly traffic meetings with the chief, deputy chief, city administrator, Eric Deuce from Public Works, representative from EEI, and we're going to discuss these traffic issues that are coming in and the data that's collected, and then make sure that we're moving in the correct way to address these issues.
One of the things we found is Sam would put these reports out, we'd share it with the other administration within the city, and then if it happened to be an area in your subdivision or your ward where we noticed a problem, we would send it to you guys. Well, at that point, we're presenting the information. If there was information specific to traffic violations, we would follow up on that. But if it was information that or recommendations that Sam would make with, you know, potentially adding another speed limit sign here or posting something there, we didn't realize or didn't know what was happening on that end of things. So talking with the other department heads, we all needed to put our heads together and say, okay, wait a minute, we've got this nice report, we're spending all this time, we got to follow up to make sure we're closing the circle on that, to make sure things are done the way that, and the recommendations are done the way that we're asking them to be done, and or what Eric is deciding, because some of the recommendations, you know, that we may give, Eric, you know, through previous discussions and previous issues, you know, certain things he can't do, so.
I think it's a great way to make sure we're all on the same page. Again, documenting all the citizen complaints, what it is, what my findings are. I'm doing the background packets to collect the data and present to say whether it is a founded or an unfounded issue. I do a monthly traffic concern list, and every month I get it out to the patrol supervisors to let them know where to direct their officers. Everyone on the department participates in the shift activity. It's great. We get a lot of that going forward. The monthly reports documents all activity for the month as well as the year-end review. Revisiting the re-established areas that are directed patrol, and then we're going to be doing the quarterly meetings. And again, the whole point is to reduce traffic violations, make the roadways safer going forward.
One of the things that we're going to try to do this coming up year is it's going to be assigned to Sergeant Fitzenmeyer. We're going to do a comprehensive traffic crash reduction plan. Different things that we can do to, we've identified intersections. You guys hear it all the time, Route 47 and 126, right? There are minor crashes, not a lot. I mean, there's very, very few injury crashes that are coming from that intersection, but we know what the cause is, and people just aren't paying attention as they're moving forward. So we're gonna start trying to identify a plan to reduce crashes in certain areas of the town. All of our kids, all of our families drive in this town. You know, traffic safety is huge. I don't want to see anybody get hurt. So Sam's going to be a big part of that traffic crash reduction plan, and that'll be presented to you guys hopefully sometime this year. So that
I've noticed big change on Gate Farmer. Big change.
This year we've worked hard at trying to get the sergeants, especially have worked hard at trying to get their people out, identifying. We're providing to patrol. Sam is providing, he's doing all the work on it, based on complaints. We're identifying areas where we know we have issues, right? McHugh Road, Game Farm Road. We know we have speeding issues on those roadways, right? So now we're providing those areas for our patrol officers to hit and provide enforcement and education on. the kind of the example that I would give, okay, I live in Blackberry Creek North, Fairhaven Drive. Do we get an occasional speeder through there? Yeah, we do get an occasional speeder. We can patrol that area. If I can hit it 2 or 3 times a day on general patrol, that's great. Hopefully I can hit it at the time that that one person that's doing the violation, right? But I know I have a problem over here, so I don't want to take a ton of time in an area where we know we don't really have an issue. We've got one particular issue. We can deal with that separately, but we're trying to hit an area where we know we have a problem, if that makes sense. So that's where we're at.
We have moms on Goose Dam against teenage speeders. they know who it is, and the mother gets a call.
Yes. So at
and
Seaver,
we've stopped 2 people.
Yep.
That it, were constant.
It's funny because we had we've hit, and you're going to see in the January monthly report, we were hitting Fox Road really hard. Okay. One day, a gentleman gets stopped. The very next day, his wife gets stopped. She's been the one complaining about speeding on Fox Road, but yet she is the one of the ones that are doing it. So, you know, our guys are like, listen, we don't enjoy stopping, and they call soccer moms. And I'm like, I get it. I'm not saying you have to write anybody a ticket. You will never hear me say tickets have to be written, okay? That's your discretion to make. The problems we're having are the soccer moms speeding through subdivision. It's people who live in that subdivision that are causing the issues, and some of the ones that are calling are the ones speeding in the subdivision that we're stopping. So.
Well, I think there's been an improvement this past year or so, because I know I used to get many, many calls about Hayden Drive.
Yeah.
You probably aren't.
We get a few calls.
I haven't had a one this year, but it doesn't mean there hasn't been any, but.
Nice weather's coming. Now is the time when we start getting hit pretty hard with calls, but Sam's done a really nice job, and the sergeants have done a really nice job getting our guys out and guys and gals out in certain areas. So.
Yeah, Fox and the Q both, big changes.
Good.
Yeah. Have you noticed that when you present this information to the citizens who call and make the complaint, that the complaints go down, or is it like cyclical?
I've noticed that it's gone down. Like I said, that example by the Yorkville Christian School, we were getting complaints, multiple complaints about that. And then once I disseminated, and he was in charge of the Homeowners Association, he was disseminating that information. That just made it a little easier.
Sure.
And I mean, the numbers are here. I mean, we can look at the numbers and talk about it. So I've had some people, while I'm sitting out there, a citizen come up and he goes, we can watch the radar together. You can stand next to my car and we can watch it together. So. It's all about just getting the information out. But I notice it's a reduction. Sometimes they don't always agree with what you say, but it's like, it's the number. So we just want to deploy them, like Chief Jensen said, in the right area. There's going to be speeders everywhere, but if there's an actual problem, we want to hit those problem areas.
And we want to be fiscally responsible with it. I could put a cop out there. A cop, their hourly rate out there is pretty high. I could take a CSO out there who's making, you know, $15 to $20 an hour, significantly less. You know, and in a place that we may or may not have a problem, that's just one of the steps we take to try to determine whether we have a problem.
And that CSO is in a marked squad car, so it's visible. So, I like the courtesy letters. I think it's great. Like I said, I've gotten some feedback from people that got it. They thank me.
Absolutely.
So.
I'd rather get one of those than a ticket.
Yeah.
I think speeding tickets are up to $350 now at the courthouse.
I'm surprised I haven't gotten a courtesy letter.
Yeah. We can change
that. That's funny. That's funny.
Any more questions for Sergeant Straub? No? Nice work.
Thank you for allowing me to talk.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sam. Appreciate it. Come on, let me give you this here, Sam.
Call me back.
Good to see you, man.
Good seeing you as well.
You too.
All right, we will move on to additional new business.
Thank you. We have to head to another meeting, so thank you guys.
Thank you.
Good night.
PS 2024-04, monthly report review for December and January, December 23 and January 24.
Awesome. So I can do one of two things. I can cover December, but I'm going to cover the annual report, which December is part of the annual report. So if you want me to go through December, I can absolutely do that, but I want to be respectful of your time. So.
Do it all at once.
January's report, there's some pretty significant things. We just spoke about traffic. You've probably seen several, going through the report that we sent out, there's been some big traffic increase in numbers. So just going over some of the highlights real quick of our overtime of the 41 hours, almost 30 of them were reimbursed overtime, which is good. Some of the community information, January was, you know, big with storms. So we posted a lot of, you know, stuff on, hey, 2-inch snowfall coming, it's slippery, slowed down, here's what the weather reports are. We also started talking about our Battle of the Badge blood drive, which, by the way, YPD beat Kendall by a couple, which is good. Deputy Chief Ray Mikulasik is now the president of the Kennel Chiefs Association, so it's good having representatives from our board, from our PD, on that board. Jumping over to training hours, we had over 500 hours of training for the month of January, 510.5 hours, which is really a good month. We're going to talk about training specifically in the as well. Going to traffic crash data, top traffic crash intersections, 126 is not listed. I think it's the first time in I don't know how long. But with the cold weather, with the icy roads, the snow, you know, we were up to a total of 64 crash reports for the month of January. Not uncommon. We've been in the 70s. We've been in the 80s. So not a huge number, but still more than we would hope for. Jumping over to the traffic concerns, if you jump into the directed patrols, Bristol Ridge Road, we've had 10 violations on Bristol Ridge Road. We've identified that as being a problem area. If you see it on the directed patrols on your monthly report, we're seeing that it's a problem area. We had 15 stops on Center Parkway. Obviously, you all know we had a fatal at the intersection of Center Parkway and East West Main. And so what happened, the person came through the stop sign. That's the primary cause. The person was going above the speed limit, but not crazy fast. I want to say like 34 miles an hour, if I remember right. Jumping to McHugh Road, we had 17 violations. Route 34, we had 202. Violations that we've made on Route 34, 47 downtown, 161. West Fox Street, 33 violations. And Fox Street, while there is quite a bit of traffic there, that's several violations there that we're not used to seeing. If you look at our overall numbers of citations as compared January to January, we're 37 less citations, but we're plus 296 written warnings. So you're seeing a lot more traffic enforcement. And when I say enforcement, a written warning, while I think a stop is enforcement, it's also a written warning is more of an educational component that that we try to utilize. Our criminal cases for our detectives were up 5 from January to January. Our criminal reporting for the month, we're going to be plus 100 in the overall reports. The two biggest areas, motorist assists, were up over 53 wintertime. Okay. And then we're 911 hangups, you are going to see that consistently in the 20s. 911 hangups, somebody on their cell phone. Now we are responding to cell phones. I know we talked about that before, prior to. I'm not sure what month it was last year. Somebody called 911 on their cell phone and hang up. We never responded to that. Now KenCom is, so they're presenting that to us. You're seeing an increase in those. The nice thing is, under our NIBRS reporting, our overall crimes against person, crimes against property, and crimes against society are down as compared to the previous year. 45 in January of 23, 31 in January of 24, which is a good thing. And our overall calls for service and incidents, the last thing I'm gonna bring up, since 2020, this is the highest. We were 1,495. The next highest amount was 1,156, and that was back in 2020. So it was a busy month of January. Again, winter time has a lot to do with that. So and snowstorms. So that would be that.
Questions?
No.
Craig? No. All right. We'll move on to item number 2, PS 2024-5, adjudication reports for January and February 2024.
All right. So just going through the dockets, January 3rd, we had a noise ordinance at Pins. I know you guys have gotten phone calls. I know you've gotten been inundated with those. There are several times that when we get called, we go out there. If there's a violation, we write a ticket. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. All of our guys have been ordered. You will write tickets. I just told you earlier, I don't mandate people to write tickets, but we've been out there at pins over the course of, you know, the last several years, at least since I've been here and prior to that. So we understand, and we make those.
You gave ample opportunity and multiple warnings, so it's
justified. Yes. Yep. Even prior to me, they gave. I mean, Rich did a nice job, trying to give the benefit of the doubt. And so, Prairie Crossing, we had a fight. That's the disorderly conduct on there. The 17th, we had a secondary fight at the middle school, and then the damage or tampering with the system, that was building and zoning issue. That I don't know what the details are for that one. But
someone was using the water when they were mudding the drywall. So we talked about it on Tuesday.
There you go.
Part of Pete's report.
Gotcha. February 5th, we had a dangerous, vicious animal. Keep in mind now, we are going to adjudication only two times a month now. So that's why you're going to see kind of less reports on that. We had two violations for tobacco sale. We did have a tobacco sting that we did, and we also did a liquor sting. You're going to see that in the next time we meet. We had three violations for alcohol. And then we had unsafe conditions at highly skilled grooming. That's where they had more people in the business than they should have had. About 2:52 in the morning, they had over, their occupancy was 70. They had 86 people, and that didn't include some of the staff and some of the people that got out as we were walking in the door.
That's the barber shop, yep. Right next to my office.
Yes. Yep, right there. So,
right on 34, between Chinese Buffet and Salsa Verde.
Yep.
There's a barber shop. Their hours are weird. They're open from 4 o'clock in the afternoon till 2 a.m.
We have had, we just had a liquor meeting because we had multiple violations that occurred with the occupancy. They were smoking weed indoors during the party, and then they were serving liquor past 2 a.m., which is a violation of our city code and our liquor license. They were issued citations for that as well. And so John is trying to figure out what he's going to do with them. We've had multiple violations at the place, and so there's some issues that they're working through.
Rumor has it that the landlord is putting an end to it. So
that'd be wonderful.
Yeah, that'd the be landlord, wonderful. I think, has had enough.
Yeah. So, and then the last page on February 21st, you see we wrote just a ton of the 2-inch snowfall tickets. At the beginning of the year, we always put Facebook posts out. We try to tell people. We go out before the storms hit, say, hey, guys, please get your cars off the road. We're in Heartland. We get with the HOA president. The HOA president starts laughing at us, and he says, you realize that people only move when you come and tell them to move. He goes, I've had multiple people say, oh, the cops will come and tell me I move until they tell me. And so we're to the point right now where Public Works has a difficult time plowing. We're just starting. Once we hit that second, maybe even third snowstorm, we're just writing tickets. I don't know what else to do to get people to. We tried very nicely multiple times.
Heard the same thing about Fox Hill.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Well, we're not going to move till we're told.
Yep. So, and that's it.
Any questions?
Nope.
No. Move to our last item, PS 2024-7, the 2023 annual report review and discussion.
All right, I gave you guys a copy of it. There's a lot of information in here. So if you guys obviously have questions, ask away and we'll cover. I wrote some notes up here on the board, just specific to pages that I thought would be appropriate to discuss. So page number 4 is our mission and value statements. Today was the last day of the class that Ray and I went to on strategic planning. One of our mid-range goals over the next 1 to 3 years is to come up with a police department strategic plan based on short-term, mid-term, and long-range goals, kind of that North Star type goals to go through. You're going to see a different mission. You're going to see different values. While some of the values we have listed here are still very apropos to what we do, you're going to see a difference there. So Then we go into the, up to page 7, our calls for service. You can see our calls for service for, in our total incidents, I should say, calls for service and incidents were down from previous years. A lot of that was, we had reduction in traffic numbers. And we also had reduction in overall reports taken, which I guess is a good thing. So jumping to page 11, we had our new employees. We hired Jacob Schwartz. He's the top. He came from Wilmington. He was a lateral transfer. Leonardo Reyes, he joined us at the end of 2023. And Alex Robo as well at the end of 2023. Alex Robo was a lateral, was a CSO, came from Chicago Police Department. Page 12, our budget. You'll see that 88% of our total budget is salary and benefits. Capital budget varies annually depending on how many squad cars we're going to purchase, or you guys allow us to purchase, what other leases we get into based on, like, our body camera lease is an example that we pay for out of capital, our taser lease, which is obviously on our budget for this next year because our lease program is up. So you look at our budget, I think we've been, you know, you see the actual is spent there, and then the 2024 adopted amount of our budget, which we will come in less than what the adopted budget was this next year. Page 14, our staffing. Thank you very much for the staffing. We've been up and down, as you guys know, as we've talked about. We show that we are currently fully staffed. Twice this year, for several months this year, we've been understaffed only because we have people leaving, and then it takes a good 6 months to a year. Could take 6 months to hire someone, and by the time they come out of the academy, it takes a lot longer. Our professional standards report, as compared to previous years, I think we had 6 complaints last year, if I'm not mistaken. We had 4 complaints. Somebody calls and complains about an officer being rude. We document that. Somebody calls and says our officer did something wrong, we document those. We had 4 documented complaints this year. Citizen complaints, all were unfounded. There's a breakdown by race, disposition of the case, age of the complainant, and the disciplinary action that is taken there. We had 0 internal investigations this year, which is something that that I think is very good, obviously. I'm going to jump over the Support Services Division investigations. They were extremely busy this year. If you look at some of the cases, the noteworthy investigations, criminal cases, at Dan, as you know, especially because you're defending some of the guys, and you were in the state's attorney's office, right?
I got a phone call today from Detective Ketchmark.
Oh, did you?
I did.
Some of the cases, they are just time-intensive cases today. There's so much that our detectives have to do, so much they have to do to get charges, and then making sure that we have enough that we can prosecute and convict. So if you go through them, there's some pretty cool cases there. Not cool in the thing that they're good, but that they worked hard. Let's see, sex offender checks on page number 21. We have 13 offenders that live in town, 11 sex offenders and 2 violent offenders. During 2023, detectives had 53 contacts where we do checks. This next year, we are looking to make a sex offender, violent offender registration team, where it's not just detectives doing it. We're utilizing our patrol staff, so we're going to train our patrol staff and our detectives and one of our records personnel, because every time we have to go and we do a check, and whether there's a violation or not, there has to be documentation of that to make sure they are following and in compliance with what statute is. Our detectives, as you can imagine, with 53 contacts, spend a lot of time on that, trying to alleviate some of that time, push some of that time on other areas of the police department, which will hopefully help. So jumping into our records, you're going to see some increases in some things. I really want to highlight the FOIAs. We were up 41 additional FOIAs, and as you know, FOIAs take a lot of time. Where we are up, just I can't even tell you how crazy this is. We have 41 additional items that we are having to make for the Kendall County State's Attorney's Office. So when they prosecute a case, they want all the video associated with it, whether it's body cam or squad cam. They want 2 copies. They want a copy for them, and they want a copy for the defense. Okay, we have to provide all that to them. And so we have to burn the copies, and as you can imagine, the video, the 4K video that our body cams are doing now, one DVD is not covering it. And you probably get them, Dan, so you get them more than anybody.
I just got 12 discs on a misdemeanor domestic. 12.
Yep. And it was probably a 30-minute total video, multiple people, but because of the video, the 4K, just the detail that's in that, the pixels that are in that video, takes a lot of time. We are working and have been trying to get the state's attorney to go to digital. Dan, I can't even, I just shake my head. The arguments that Eric and I get into over this and it is just crazy, but that's a huge increase.
That was my next question was, do you see that coming?
Yes, I see it coming. We've been talking about this for a year and a half. We brought, when Bergner was at the chief in Oswego, he and I met with Eric. We met with Dwight, Jeff and I met to try to get him to do it. And he wasn't, he didn't have the technology at the time. And then he assigned some people to do it. Well, one of the people he assigned is no longer with the state's attorney's office. That pushed back time. And they're busy. I mean, I get it. I'm not throwing all this on Eric. They're busy.
I think they lost a few IT personnel, too.
Potentially, yeah. Yes, they have. Not potentially, they have. Correct.
I just got, from DeKalb County, electronic disclosure. It has body cam videos. It has interview room videos. It has bank statements, subpoena responses. All of it came via email. So they don't have to make copies of all this stuff. If they do it the old-fashioned way, I'm getting 5 or 6 discs of the interviews. I'm getting multiple discs with the bank records and everything else. So the cost of doing it, I don't even think it exists. There's probably a cost for the service because this came from Motorola.
Yeah.
So there's probably a cost you have to pay to Motorola to do this, but it's going to be minimal compared to having to burn. And then the time associated with having to put a disc in and pulling it out. I don't understand what the resistance is. And maybe it's just lawyers in general. I mean, I was resistant to things in terms of e-filing and all that, but now it is absolute time saver.
So much easier.
Do you have a dedicated person to handle the FOIAs?
No. To handle FOIAs, all of our records clerks are FOIA trained. So Kirsten is the head FOIA officer. Natalie and Nicole are trained as well. So if there's any questions, concerns, you know, a lot of the FOIAs we get, I mean, it's no-brainers, right? I mean, they know exactly what they're doing. They know how to do it. It's some of the other ones that come up that, okay, this could be questionable, so we need to look into it. And Kirsten is that person that is the final decision maker when it comes to FOIAs here.
You have no issues being able to meet timelines?
No. Now, if we had a major case where we had, you're talking hours and hours and hours and hours and hours of video and trying to get that to the state's attorney's office, with how we do it right now, that'd be tough. So, yeah. School resource officer. We have Goldsmith in there, and he's just crazy busy. We try not to put stats in there with the amount of calls that he takes at the school because we're going to see some schools and people will question it. At the school district in any way, shape, or form in negative light. Community service officers, they are a civilian staff, a civilian arm of our police department. We have two currently. We have three currently. This past year, 2023, you guys know some of the problems that we had with one of the CSOs that we had hired. We went most of the year with just two.
You're not going to go the route of the city of Chicago?
What's that?
You're getting rid of them? Or...
Oh, gosh, no. No, these guys here.
I don't get that. I just don't get it.
And some of it could be a safety thing because, like, our CSOs are not armed. Our CSOs take calls for service, minor calls for service, non-criminal calls. See where it could be? It could be, and I don't know. I don't know anything about it. If I knew I had a crime rate that was soaring, especially violent crime with shootings, I'd be really hesitant to put a CSO out there. Even in a marked squad car. Because people are not afraid to take pot shots at squads.
All I can remember is trying to avoid Joe the Cop. because I was always doing something wrong.
Yeah, I think you're talking about the school officers.
Yes,
right?
SROs.
Yeah, the SROs they got rid of in Chicago.
Yeah. Yeah, there's, yeah, we would not look to it. The school district would, that would be, yeah, we've got very good support for SROs here.
So. Speaking of that, and I think you covered this earlier, but you're now getting reimbursed for that, correct?
Yep.
You don't get reimbursed?
No. For the school resource officers? No, we don't. Now, our city has been very careful to work out the utilization of their facilities for our Parks and Rec department, but our police department, we pay for the full-time person, any overtime that's associated with it, that comes out of our budget for that. Would I like to see reimbursement? Yes. However, I need to temper that request, so to speak, for what the value is for the other part, for the Parks and Rec department. And, you know, if they were going to charge us to rent some of those buildings, you know, where's that offset? Where's that nexus? So, our internship program, we had two high school and one college. I'm really, college interns, we're not staying away from them. If somebody applies, we will conduct the interviews and get a college intern. I'm really trying to push back on the colleges themselves and say, hey, listen, we're taking your people in here. How about you give us a little in return? We have people that we're paying college classes for. How about you give me a class for free one time a year, right? So I can get something back for taking the 2 to 3 college interns, you know, so we can benefit from that as a city, because we're taking a lot of time, 400 to 600 hours that person's spending with us. And nobody's been. So, not saying I'm not going to take college interns, but I'm going to continue to push, and I would rather take our high school interns because they're local kids for us. Our vehicle data, if you look on page number 28, 23 vehicles in our fleet. In 2024, with the purchase of the 3 new Fords, we will get rid of all first-line Chevy Impalas. Thank God. You can look at our total maintenance line at the very bottom of that page. Our maintenance cost, it's the cheapest it's been since 2020, knock on wood. Part of that is we've spent a lot of money on Fords. We have newer vehicles. We're not having as many major issues. Cost, with the reduction in the overall cost of maintenance, you're going to see a reduction in our cost per mile. Gasoline from 22 to 23 is pretty expensive. 23 has gone down just over $11,000. So, and that's, you know, that's nothing we can control. Field operations division, our crime rate, that's really what I want to get into here. So the NIBRS versus UCR. So this year, actually two previous years, last year we did UCR still. This is the first year we did not do UCR. So UCR is the Uniform Crime Reporting the Illinois State Police used to run. NIBRS is now a federal program that they mandated all of us go to. So NIBRS did, or UCR did not track as many crimes as NIBRS did. NIBRS is broken down into crimes against person, crimes against property, and crimes against society. So they are tracking a lot more crimes. The difference, one of the other main differences is UCR only counted one crime in the total. So Cedar, if you would have committed a domestic battery and two or three other violations, it would count as one. NIBRS now counts it what the violations actually are. Okay. So when you look at our overall crime rate from 22 to 23, you're seeing a significant increase from 1782 to 2123. That's the differential. So
is that, I'm trying to think. Okay, somebody was arrested for whatever, murder one, concealing a body, 15
both
charges
counts, different counts.
For one crime. Now, so how does this, that relate, when you're saying multiple crimes count as one versus, Are you taking one situation as, even if there's 15 counts of?
So let's just say that I have an aggravated battery that's occurred.
Okay.
Okay. They could be charged with one count of aggravated battery, and then they get in the car and take off, and it's fleeing and eluding.
Okay, so that is one.
And then they fight with the cops.
But that's one situation. I guess
one situation, but three separate crimes. If somebody commits a homicide and they're charged, let's say they kill somebody and they're charged with multiple counts of homicide, it only counts as one. The added counts aren't put on there. It's if it's individual crimes that are charged.
I understand. Yeah, that's what I was trying to get at. Okay, I understand.
So, good with that?
All
right. Okay.
Do I have any other choice?
Yeah. True.
I'm just amazed when you see somebody kill somebody.
And then you 25 counts.
All this under 15 or 20 things associated with it. How many times can you kill a person?
You can only kill them once, but under the law...
I know.
The murder could be intentional, or it could be the great bodily harm resulting in murder. It could be murder with a deadly weapon.
Dan could better explain that. I do not understand how the state... I just go for felony approval, and they tell me if I get it or not and what the charges are. I'm not smart enough to be an attorney for that, so...
Lots of different ways to break the law.
It's crazy. Our field training program, obviously we talked about Reyes and Roble there, so I'm going to skip over that pretty quick. Traffic safety and enforcement. We've talked a lot about that with Sam and kind of what we're doing. Obviously, to be respectful of your time, I can go into details if you have questions. But Sam really kind of covered what it is that we're doing. You know, on page 34, the directed patrols, those are the main areas that we've hit with the number of details, the total hours we've spent in that in those particular areas, total number of violations, and how many arrests we've had. So that's what we try to do. We're identifying areas, we're tracking the time we spent, and are we seeing a difference in the time that we've spent as from one year to the next trying to compare. This is going to be the first year we're going to try to actually do comparisons per year to see, okay, hey, we're out on Bristol Ridge Road. We've spent 7.75 hours, and are we seeing a reduction based on the amount of time? That probably is not a good example. I would say like Route 71 or 47 would be a better example.
Don't mention Bristol Ridge Road.
Yeah, right? Number of traffic concerns that come in 2023, we had 64 traffic concerns come in. 38 were speeding, you had stop signs, parking, disobeying traffic control devices, abandoned cell phones, and other complaints. And then you see our portable speed signs with the different studies that we've done throughout the course of the year based on the complaints that we've received. Additional monitored patrol areas, we had 12 of them where we've gotten complaints. We've spent some time and we've determined based on speed studies that those areas are just not, you know, we'll hit those areas, but we're not assigning staff there because it's not been identified as a specific problem, so to speak. And then jumping to our response to resistance, we had 9 total response to a resistance, up from 5 the previous year, 9 in 2021 and 8 in 2020. If you look at that report, you see the total number of incidents and we've had is 12,901. We had 500 arrests, and in 98.20% of all of those incidents, we didn't use force. In 3.89%, force was used. So, you know, 3.89, so let's just say 4%, right? 4% of the times of all the incidents, that's when we actually had to lay hands on people. We break it down for the types of calls we're using. Force on, 3 involved domestic violence, 2 were mental health calls. A couple were follow-up investigations. We're going to follow up and somebody freaks out. We broke it down by day of the week. We broke it down by the substance abuse and emotional. As you can imagine, substance abuse plays a large part of the reasons we're using force. Suspect injuries, officer injuries. We had 3 suspects injured, and we had 3 officers injured this year in the use of force. Medical treatment was received in all cases. Right over here, guys.
Softball?
Yep, right over there.
This way?
Yeah. Response to resistance, right below that, weapon fired versus pointing of weapon. We count pointing of a weapon as a response to resistance, right? Part of the reason is we want to be able to track that we've had X amount of response to resistance or uses of force. And in one case, we actually shot somebody. We could have 500 cases where we didn't, but in one case we did. So we're wanting to track that to say, listen, we're not using force excessively. You know, yes, we've had our guns out, but we haven't used them, right? So you look in this year, we had taser was pointed twice, and a taser was fired twice. So taser was out four times, fired twice, pointed twice. And a lot of times when you red dot somebody with the taser, they will comply. And then broken down by race, on the next page, by age and by gender, you can males were all nine, but back in 2020, we had three males. Of the eight, three were male and five were female. And then there's just additional quick facts by the numbers for 2023. Bias-based policing, this is where we track, we do monthly reports on our traffic stops, tracking the racial makeup and the breakdown of people we are stopping based on current Illinois statute. So we compare what our city population is, and we also utilize the school district population because we have people that come to our school district that don't live in our town. They live on the city of Plano side, right, or the village of Oswego side, but they come to our schools. There's different breakdowns of the racial makeup in Plano as compared to Yorkville. Plano has more Hispanic than what Yorkville has. So we use those numbers to compare. Every month we break down the number of stops per officer. Every single month we break it down by the race, and then we track anything that's over 15% what our city population is. We highlight and try to identify why we're over in that particular area. So it could be very simple. A sergeant who was highlighted for stopping too many Hispanic, they only made three traffic stops. They made three traffic stops and one's Hispanic, they're 33%, right? And so they're going to come in higher than what our Hispanic population is, which is 13%. Make sense? And we have some people on nighttime. They can't see inside the car to see what the race is of the person or what the gender is of the person inside the car. But we do track that because if somebody comes in and complains, we want to know whether or not we have a problem. I don't believe we have a problem in RPD, but you have to plan for it just in case. Our crisis intervention, CIT, and our in-house AID. What is really kind of cool about this, we had a total crisis intervention calls are down significantly from 2021, down from 22. We had six new car registrants for 2023, bringing our citizens at risk total registrants to 47. One of the cool things is AID took on 81 total cases. So when we have mental health calls, we have domestic violence calls, we have other calls where we think those people in that house that we respond to could utilize or could benefit from mental health services, counseling, we refer them to AID. We have a social worker inside of our building. So we do a referral form to the social worker. The social worker reaches out to that family. Sometimes the families say, no, we don't need anything and we're good. Sometimes families will say, well, you know, I'm having a problem with this, or I'm having a problem with this, or I have substance abuse issues, I have financial issues, and AID was able to provide some additional support to those families. They worked on 129 individuals assisted. 48 of the 81 calls they had were mental health related assistance. This year it's different. AID did not get the 708 board funding from the Kendall County Health Department or from the 708 board. Kendall County Health Department, we worked with Rayanne. They are going to be providing a social worker to us that is a full-time person with the Kendall County Health Department. They will be stationed out of the office down here one day a week, and we will forward. Same thing we do with AID, we're going to be doing with the health department. One of our goals for our strategic plan is trying to develop a comprehensive mental health response, police response program to mental health. And that's going to be something we're going to try to achieve over the next 3 to 4 years, really identifying what's the true data that's out there, because we've only been doing it a year. There's no way I can come to you as a board and justify staffing for this right now. So we're going to try to get at least 2, maybe 3 years worth of data. where is that data taking us? What is that data showing us? Can we justify a person instead of hiring a cop? Could I hire a social worker in here 5 days a week? What kind of services can be provided? What services are out there? And hopefully we can have a plan to reduce callbacks to residents, like domestic violence. Maybe some of these people are getting some assistance with anger management, right? Which is what some of the social workers can provide to them, right? So anyway, that's kind of the long range goal with what we're looking to do, but we're collecting the data right now to help support what it is we need or potentially could need in the future. Scrolling down to the training program, we had 3,629 hours for 2023. If you look at our total hours, significantly down from 2021. 22 and 2021, the difference there, Police Academy. We did not send anyone to the Police Academy in 2023. Peyton Heiser got out at the end of 2022. And Reyes didn't go until 2024. So Police Academy is 560 hours for, you know, for one candidate. And the very last thing is our drone program. We have two department drones. We have one drone used between Public Works, Public Works, PD, and Community Development. That was a drone that was and Parks and Rec, I should say, that was purchased jointly with all the different departments. We have 17 drone deployments in 2023, 16 drone operators. One of our, two of the drones have FLIR and cameras on it. The one that we share with the other entities within the city here has mapping capabilities. So when we get to training, our officer, Kyle Borowski, is now finished, I believe, three classes for accident reconstruction. We will be able to utilize the drone to help reconstruct crash scenes, which is really cool.
You don't mention the armament.
What's that?
You don't mention the armament.
On the drones?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We can't do that. You guys can, but the law doesn't allow me to do it.
Air to air, air to surface, yep. Things like that.
Yep. Yeah. Kind of crazy. And then just the last couple pages are the community moments and awards for the officers. So that is your 2023 PD annual report. Questions?
Busy.
It's
a lot of good information.
Yes.
It's helpful to have this now all together for
yep.
one year instead of one.
Well, and there's a lot of comparative data from previous
right,
years.
Right,
there's some traffic data when somebody calls and complains about, you know, your particular subdivision on the road. Now you can go and
that's,
see.
That's what I mean, rather than trying to go through to
yeah, that's huge.
Last year's stack of reports.
Yep, that's huge. So
I get a lot of calls and compliments about your guys. The interactions are professional and
good.
I mean, nobody wants to be pulled over, but it's always been professional and courteous. And
good.
Even the people with the pins problems, so like the officers have been, it's always been great.
Good. So that's what we strive for.
Really,
we're not always, we don't always hit the mark, but we strive for that. So, good.
All right. That's it for new business. Do we have any old business? Any additional business?
Nope.
We will adjourn at 7:18 in the PM.